Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's December 9th, 2013. Wow, wow, wow. What a fantastic time last night at the Meadowbrook Church. The Singing Men, along with Scott Waddles, put on a wonderful God-honoring concert and had that Elvis twist to a few of our selections as Scott led out as somebody who does an Elvis tribute. And so we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, some great worship time. And thank you, God, for the many people that came out, even with the snow and the ice and the kind of crazy driving conditions. So it was fun to meet with Pastor Ron at the Meadowbrook Church, a great supportive audience, and everything came together nicely. So it was great to be out with the Singing Men of GNN last night. And we'll be doing it again this coming Saturday at noon at the Marketplace Mall Food Court. It'll be the 15th year in a row that we put on a Christmas concert for the general public right there in the food court at noon. So be sure to invite a friend, a family member, colleagues, pick up some strangers off the street and get them to the food court this Saturday at noon for about an hour, hour and a half concert. Well, I picked out a unique broadcast for today's edition of Mark and Friends. It's with Elizabeth George, who's an author and speaker, and she's going to talk about faith, hope, and love during this Christmas season. It's really the gospel story that we all can certainly identify with. So sit back for the next 25 or so minutes and enjoy Elizabeth George sharing the gospel story through 1 Corinthians 13. Here's Elizabeth.
This is Elizabeth George. The simple theme of the gospel story, the reason Jesus came, is love, His love.
Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, often called the love chapter, is the theme for this Christmas special with author and speaker Elizabeth George.
Excuse me, what do you like best about Christmas?
Gifts. Lots of gifts.
We always get away for the holidays to a warm place.
I'm trying to ignore the whole thing.
It's kind of how it goes, isn't it? Not much faith, hope, or love in that kind of Christmas. And yet the Bible tells us God is love. This is Elizabeth George with this Christmas special for a woman after God's own heart. As a child, many of us learned John 3:16, and somewhere along the way we lost sight of what it promises. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And as children of God, you and I are told by God to show the kind of love Jesus modeled for us. Jesus says very clearly, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." The kind of love Jesus modeled calls for deliberate decisions, for conscious effort on our part. And love can be costly. It asks something of us. Hopefully, you'll never have to die for someone, but Jesus' love asks you to practice sacrificial love in some very practical areas, like listening, helping, serving, encouraging, giving of your time and money. So where exactly does sacrificial love begin? With a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Once you are a child of God, spending time with God in His Word and prayer stirs up and refreshes love each new day. From there, love moves out in your attitudes and actions toward your family first. Then it flows to other believers and finally to the world, to any and all who cross your path. And because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, you have God's love to give. Just be sure you follow Jesus' command to love God first and then love others. 1 John 4:21 says, "This commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Love requires something of you. It takes effort. And sadly, love is not always a normal response. It has to be nurtured, sort of nudged a bit. Especially if you're hesitating when it comes to reaching out in love. Maybe you were hurt and loving another person. Well, I want you to take a few minutes right now to remember how deeply you are loved by Jesus, in spite of your sins and faults. That unconditional love should move you to love others. And Jesus is the model of how we're to love. Oh, and here's the best part. As you practice love toward others, the feelings of love will follow naturally. I know, I've been there. You'll find yourself reflecting the heart of Jesus as you reach out in love, just like Jesus did. It's His love in us that enables us to give that love when we want to withhold it, to reach out to others when we're tired and want to rest, to serve when we want to be served, and to help others when we are hurting. Every family member, every friend gives you an opportunity to love and to serve. If you work outside the home, love has work to do there. If you live with roommates, there's love work to do. In your neighborhood, your church, places you volunteer, show God's love, not just with words and attitudes, as important as they are, but with your actions. And God's Spirit at work in you will cause your love to blossom in the life of others. It's so much easier to love nice people, people who appreciate you and are gracious to you, but not so easy to love the unlovely. They always are a challenge to me when it comes to loving. Yet this is exactly what Jesus calls us to do as women who love Him. In Jesus' message in Matthew 5, He shocked everyone listening by saying, "You have heard that it was said, 'You will love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons and daughters of your Father God." And Jesus didn't stop there. He said, "If you love those who love you, what reward have you? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others?" God's kind of love calls us to love the unlovely just as He does. Do we deserve it? No. God's love is never deserved. It just is. And that's the kind of love you and I are to show one another, enemy as well as friend, the unlovely as much as the lovely. And Luke 6:35 promises, "Love your enemies and do good, and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High God, for He is kind to the ungrateful and evil men." Okay, here's the question you're wishing I won't ask. Who in your world is in that unlovely category? And who in your family or circle of friends that you'll be seeing during the Christmas season irritate you, bother you, who makes your life difficult? Each one of these you're thinking of are to be the object of your love. And here's the good news. God gives you all the grace you need to give His love all the time without conditions. Love the difficult, ungrateful, unkind, unlovely people in your world. Can you do it for Christ's sake? God's love is there for us to give. And we need to remember that those who are hardest to love are the ones who need it the most. Is it too much to expect that when we're nice to someone, they'll be nice to us? And when we're loving towards someone, we'll get some of that same kind of treatment in return? You'd think so, wouldn't you? But in Luke 6:35, Jesus says just the opposite. When we love as God loves and are kind to the ungrateful, we are to love without any thought of personal reward. And the kicker is, you may find that ungrateful person right in your own home, even at Christmas time.
It's one of the reasons I hate this time of year. I'm doing everything to make his family feel welcomed, and is he doing anything in return to be grateful? No. I feel totally unappreciated. In fact, I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. Did I say how much I hate this time of year?
It might help at this moment to remind ourselves again that Jesus is kind to the ungrateful. When you and I serve our husbands, or anyone else for that matter, we're to serve simply because God lives in us and wants us to extend His love to all people through us. Does it hurt sometimes? Yes, it does. But here's another thought to hopefully encourage you. John 13:34 says we're to love and serve as if the person before us were Jesus Himself. That puts it in a different perspective, doesn't it? Love is the sacrifice of self. It's not an emotion or even feeling loving towards someone. It's always self-sacrifice. It demands action. It's something we do, not something we just feel or say. As a mom, you already know all about loving sacrificially. That is, unless you have perfect children. And sometimes, okay, often, children are the most ungrateful people we know. They want what they want, and they want it right now. Babies cry and are so unreasonable at just the wrong time. And yet, we love them. We care for them, expecting little or nothing in return. So how are you doing? Go before the Lord in prayer. He will help you and show you where He wants you to love more sacrificially. He will remind you that you're to obey God as you walk with Him and love one another, even when you don't feel like it. And He will help you recognize opportunities to go beyond speaking words of love to doing those actual works of love. Let's pray the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be loved as to love. So let's start today to walk in love in practical ways we can all do. Start by being a woman who walks in God's love at home. As the saying goes, what you are at home is what you are. Go to God throughout the day for a fresh supply of His love to share. Remember that your assignment is to serve. And remember Matthew 20:28. Jesus said He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many.
You're listening to a Christmas special with speaker and author Elizabeth George, Faith, Hope, and Love. And the greatest of these is love.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked.
This is Elizabeth George. How will this be? Mary's question is a question asked not in disbelief, but in faith. Can you imagine the scene? Mary herself could hardly believe her eyes. Imagine what that angelic messenger from God looked like. But even more startling was the announcement Mary heard. "You have found favor with God." She was inexperienced, unaccomplished. She'd never been a mother. She had no fortune, no wealth, no family inheritance. She couldn't talk of fame or social status. She was unknown. No one had ever heard of her father or mother or her. Nothing is said about her physical appearance or beauty. When the Lord went looking for a woman to bless as mother of His Son, He searched for a woman who loved God, a woman of faith. From the world's perspective, Mary seemed completely unfit, unusable. But she loved God, and she found favor with God. Her love for God, her faith in Him, qualified Mary to be used by God.
Do you want to do extraordinary things for God? Then start by simply loving and obeying Him. We can't read very far in the New Testament without realizing love is important to God. He calls us as women who love God to walk in love, to love one another, to love our husbands and our children, to love our neighbor, and yes, even to love our enemies. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And as His children, you and I are commanded to live out the kind of love we see modeled by Jesus. He says very clearly in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. In other words, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Love isn't always easy, is it? An example is the woman who comes home from work and pulls into the driveway at the same time her husband is coming home. Both of them have put in a long day at the office, so who's fixing dinner? Who's cleaning up the dishes? Wrapping the last-minute gifts? Making lunches? You name it. Love has work to do, doesn't it? Actions backing up our words are proof of our love. Where has God placed you to show your love by your actions? As author Edith Schaefer has said, to whom can you demonstrate love in the day-by-day, mundane circumstances of life? Now the hard part. Jesus calls us to love our enemies. Not only that, we're to do good to them, expecting nothing in return. That's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do. Like Mary understood so well, love is the sacrifice of self. Our first baby, Catherine, was every mom's dream. She smiled and responded so cutely, and she loved being held. We took her everywhere we went. But Courtney, now that's another story entirely. For the first 6 months, she screamed and wiggled in pain. She was completely unresponsive to our acts of love to her. Some days it wasn't easy to live under the same roof with her. What a challenge. Yet I cared for her, loved her, fed her, held her, rocked her. I certainly didn't feel love all of those times. But by the grace of God, I gave love. But it was a time for me to offer the sacrifice of self, to choose to do the works of love without getting anything positive in return. Oh, and the end of the story, one day Courtney smiled and her problem or pain vanished, and today she's the calmest person I know. When we love God enough to pay the high price of obedience, He will use us. Ask Him to teach you to love and trust, to have faith in Him even more, and to grow in you the heart of a servant. As women of God, it's so important that God's faithfulness be a part of our character. Why? Because faithfulness marks God's presence in our life. When you and I are faithful, we show that we are born of God and belong to Him. As we walk in faithfulness, we show our faithful Savior to others. Here are just a few ways from God's Word to grow you in your faith. Call on God in prayer. Be faithful in small things. Rely on God's strength. Don't give in to self-indulgence. And don't be lazy. And take care of things at home. 1 Timothy 3:11 says, "Be faithful in all things." Without faith, there is no hope. And hope is the corner we turn in our faith when we believe Psalm 23:6, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." We turn our focus from looking at what we know to be true of God's past and present care of us and look to His promises to take care of us in the future. Verse 6 of Psalm 23, the verse I just read to you, is a clear promise of God's providing for you for the future. All the days of your life, the verse says. God can and will and does care for us every day. He will get the job done. It's His promise. Psalm 23 offers us such hope. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. There are so many reasons for confidence and hope for the future. There are 7 just from this 23rd Psalm. 1, God's continued goodness. 2, His continued mercy. And 3, His continued pursuit. 4, God's continued presence. 5, eternal worship. 6, an eternal home. And 7, His eternal presence. Imagine, no more tears, sadness, enemies, trials, affliction, pain. All that we suffer from will be removed for good. And all that we long for will be provided totally. What an existence it will be to dwell in God's presence forever. Faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. In order to love others, we need wisdom, God-given wisdom and strength. It doesn't come overnight, but we can accelerate the process by making getting wisdom your goal. So here are the steps. Step 1, desire wisdom. Proverbs 3:13-14 says, "Happy is the woman who finds wisdom and gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold." Step 2, pray for wisdom. Again in Proverbs, this time Proverbs 2:3-5. "If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Step 3, seek wisdom. Proverbs 2:4, "Seek wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures." Step 4, trust God's wisdom. In a verse that may be familiar to you in Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." So what is my Christmas gift to you? How about faith, hope, love? Who wouldn't want that gift instead of the draining negative alternatives? And the Bible shows us how. Just think about these changes I'm going to suggest you make to give you faith, hope, and love. Take joy in your salvation. Psalm 35:9 shows the way. "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." Walk in the Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is, and you guessed it, joy. Choose to respond in joy, as James says. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Offer up praise to God. Hebrews 13:15 puts it this way, "Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Understand God's will regarding thanksgiving. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Then pray for peace and hope in your ordeals. John 16:24 says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Holidays, especially Christmas, can be lonely, disappointing at times. Everything doesn't always work out as we planned. Well, Jesus offers you His solutions to your mood swings. He will give you His joy as you choose to work on your relationship with Him. Nurture that friendship, rehearse God's promises, and pray instead of losing heart. Decide right now not to allow your circumstances, your disappointments, to move you up and down the mood scale. The joy of living close to Jesus and drawing on His strength each day, even moment by moment, will keep you steady. It'll rein in your emotions and cause you to rejoice always, regardless of what's happening today or any day. It's my hope and prayer that this Christmas special, a special that is focused on Jesus as our model for love, brings you encouragement. The faith, hope, and love the world offers will soon fade away. But Jesus' love, it never fades. When you choose to submit to your Father God's will and follow His lead, you will reflect the heart of Jesus. You'll find yourself viewing life from His perspective. You'll begin choosing better courses of action. You'll be blessed by the results of the wisdom you're applying, and so will the others in your life. You'll become the loving woman you want to be, a woman after God's own heart.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. My friend, in Jesus, you have both the greatest model of love and our ultimate resource for loving others. He, Jesus, is the best Christmas gift ever.
Faith, hope, and love never fails, especially the love provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. May you draw near to Him today as He desires to draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.